بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وآله الأطيبين الأطهرين المنتجبين، سيما بقية الله في الأرضين.
I'm very happy and thankful to Allah that after a relatively long break, I have the honor to see you, my beloved and esteemed youth and graduates and badge receivers, once again in a face-to-face meeting on this day, this year. The entry of several thousand young people into the armed forces is good news. A good news that is repeated every year. Whether it is young university graduates who get the rank of officer and enter the armed forces and work, or those who enter the university, receive a shoulder badge and study, both of them inject a new spirit into the armed forces in a certain way. This arrival of young people has a message of renewal and stability. Wherever the young people enter, in any institution, in any organization, they actually carry the message of stability and the renewal of that center with them. The presence of the Iranian youth in all fields is promising. That is, in various scientific, economic, political, organizational, military, and other such sectors. Wherever young people enter, they bring with them the good news of hope, renewal, and innovation. Today, there is a misleading propaganda trend going on that wants to propagate the opposite of this statement. The aim of this propaganda trend is to make the world believe that the Iranian youth have lost their values, have no hope for the future, and do not have a sense of responsibility. A propaganda trend is seriously pursuing this, but this is the opposite of reality. This is the exact opposite of our country's current reality. Our young generation has made brilliant movements in all areas and fields up until today, and it will be the same in the future, Allah willing. Whether it is in the defense of the homeland, in the defense of security, in helping the resistance front in the entire region, in this great and sacred movement to defend the holy shrines, and whether it is in social services or in scientific developments, as you can see, advancements in any scientific field are in fact made by the youth. They are the ones who drive this movement. And whether in all religious rituals, such as the Arba'een walk, whether it was the millions of young Iranians who went and traveled the road from Najaf to Karbala, or the millions of young people who in the country itself marched in the cities on Arba'een, as those far away from that abode of propagation and spirituality. And whether it is in the field of production and innovation, the news of which you see on television, where every day a new movement is made in a part of the country's production and industry sectors by our youth. Or whether it was in dealing with the COVID epidemic, or in the religious aid movement, or whether it was in cultural jihad, or in the relief projects on the occasions of natural disasters, floods and earthquakes and the like. Everywhere you look, you see the active presence of young people. This youth cannot be disappointed. This youth cannot be detached from values. This youth is a tireless force at the center of the battlefront. And of course, the revolutionary and believing youth were the pioneers in all of these cases. This is the situation of young people in the country. Well, from this point of view, if we observe your presence here, you who have gathered in this Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba University of Officer and Police Training, and others who are hearing this in other universities, then your presence and your entry into the armed forces is a great asset. Your presence is a great asset, of course, along with the experience of the veterans and the knowledge of the commanders. Strengthening the armed forces means strengthening the country. The armed forces are one of the strong pillars that strengthen the country. Of course, strengthening the country does not depend just upon the armed forces. There are also other strong pillars. Scientific advancements are a source for the country's progress. The general faith of the people and the penetration of faith into the people's hearts are a source of national strength. A government that has been built by the people and relies on the people is a source of pride for a country. All of these things exist, but the presence of the armed forces and military strength are also important means to strengthen the country's foundation. All of these various factors are able to preserve and protect the country from hostilities and harms. Of course, this is true for all countries, and it isn't just specific to ours. All countries need these tools of strength. But in a country like ours, which is faced with dictatorial and aggressive enemies, such as America and its likes, this is of more importance. Therefore, our defensive power must be strengthened. I have always said this, and I will repeat it again. The defensive power of the country must be strengthened. Now, a part of it needs to be strengthened from the outside of the armed forces, and a part of it needs to be strengthened from inside the armed forces. I shall talk about the latter. The officials of the armed forces must adopt new and updated approaches, new and updated, in order to strengthen the armed forces. These include optimizing education and military equipment, which, praise be to Allah, has been initiated in our armed forces. However, a lot more work can be done in this regard. Today, the optimization of all aspects of the armed forces, including military equipment, weapons, and even ammunition, is one of the important issues. Or, for example, research and scientific advances in the armed forces, this too is the strengthening of the armed forces. Or designing complex hybrid war games. Today, the wars that are going on in the world are hybrid wars. And, as you are aware, it includes the hard war, soft war, intellectual war, cultural war, and a war using various weapons, a cognitive war, and the like. These are all combined together to attack a nation or a country. Allah willing, war games should be able to equip all these layers with new, up-to-date methods. Well, what is the primary responsibility of the armed forces? It is the protection of national security. This is what you young people who have just started on this path should be delighted about and be proud of. The armed forces is responsible for the general security of the country. Now, what does security mean? Security is the foundation of all the aspects of life in a society. It is a general foundation for personal issues, social issues, public issues, and foreign matters. Security is the foundation of all of these things. And with regard to personal issues, security means that you can sleep safely in the comfort of your own home during the night, or that you can send your children to school in the morning without having to worry, or that you can commute to your workplace and that you can attend Friday prayers without having to worry. Just look at those countries that don't have this carefreeness in any of these matters. They can neither sleep well during the night, nor can they go to work during the day. They cannot freely watch sports, nor can they attend Friday prayers or even go on vacation. And this isn't just specific to small countries. In big countries, America being the worst, there is no security in their restaurants. There is no security in their universities. There is no security in the schools of children. There is no security even in their stores. Now, that is the definition of security on a personal level. It means that you, your children, and your family are able to live your life while feeling secure. It means that your job, your business, your vacation, and your recreational activities are carried out in safety. Now, with regard to the issues that are more about the public, you should be able to sit down, think, do your work, do research, and study in a university or in an Islamic seminary or a research institute or a think tank. This is not possible without security. If security does not exist, this progress could not have been achieved. Wherever progress has been made, it is by the blessing of the existence of security. For without security, it is difficult to do any work. And with regard to economic investments, if you want to make an investment for the economic development of the country, it isn't possible without security. Transits cannot be carried out without security. Production is not possible without security. Security is the substructure for all of these things. Well, armed organizations are the ones who provide this never-ending and universal need of the country and the general public, known as security. This is something to be proud of. The Army, the IRGC, the law enforcement organizations, and the Basij all provide security in their own different ways. So one who attacks a police station is attacking the security of the country, and the one who attacks the base of the Basij is attacking the security of the country. And the one who taunts the army or the IRGC in their statements, speeches, or conversations is insulting the country's security. Weakening the organizations in the armed forces means weakening the security of the country. And weakening the police means strengthening the criminals. For the police have a duty to stand up to the criminals and ensure the safety of the masses. The person who attacks the police is actually leaving the people defenseless against criminals, thugs, thieves, and extortionists. A great advantage that our country has is that the security we have has been built from within. Now, it makes a difference when a country or a nation creates security for itself from within, with its own forces, with its own power, and with its own thoughts and ideas, compared to a country that has an outsider telling them that they will provide them with security and protection. It is like a person protecting their milking cow. These are two very different things. Our security has been built from within. We rely on no one for our security. We have been able to create and protect this security by the strength that Allah has given us, by Allah's grace, and by the support of Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, and the support of the nation and the persistence of the officials of the armed forces. Now, one who relies on a foreign power must understand that that same foreign power will abandon them one day. For the foreign power neither can nor wants to protect you. Well, these were a few words about the issues concerning the armed forces. Remember them. Be proud. Follow these recommendations. Know that your work is something Allah is satisfied of, and do this work for the sake of Allah. And now for a few words about the recent events. The first thing I would like to state is that in these events that have taken place over these last few days, the law enforcement organizations of the country have been wronged more than anyone else. The besiege has also been wronged, and the Iranian nation has been wronged. They have wronged and oppressed us. Of course, the Iranian nation, like always and like the past, came out strong in this incident, like the previous incidents that have occurred. And the Iranian nation will continue to do the same in the future as well. In the future too, wherever the enemies plan on creating unrest, the courageous and believing nation of Iran will stand up to them the most and have the most influence. The Iranian nation will enter the arena, and they have entered the arena. Yes, the Iranian nation has been oppressed, but it is strong, like the commander of the faithful, like the master of the pious, and the leader, Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was the strongest and yet the most oppressed. The incident that took place where a young girl passed away, well, it was a bitter event, and it saddened me very much as well. But the right reaction to this incident, before any investigation could take place, before anything was certain, was not for some to come out and make the streets insecure. It was not the right reaction to create insecurity for the common people, to disrupt security, to burn the Holy Quran, to snatch the hijab from the heads of women that were wearing it, to set fire to masjids and set fire to Husayniyas, to set fire to banks and to people's cars. A reaction to such an issue, which was, well, quite unfortunate, does not cause such movements to take place. These movements were not normal. These actions were not natural. These riots had proper planning. These riots had been pre-planned. If the incident with the young girl hadn't taken place, they would have found another excuse to create insecurity and riots in the country in the beginning of the month of September of this year. who designed these plans? I openly state that these schemes and plans were designed by America, the usurping fake Zionist regime, and their followers and mercenaries. They sat down and they planned. They devised these schemes and plans, and their employees, their mercenaries, their wage earners, their servants, and some treacherous Iranians abroad helped them. Now, whenever we say a certain incident was caused by a foreign enemy, some are very sensitive to the term foreign enemy. And when we say such and such was the work of foreigners, it was carried out by foreign enemies, some quickly jump to the defense of the American and Zionist intelligence services. They use all sorts of fallacious analyses and rhetoric to try to show that foreigners were not in any way involved in that event. I ask you, riots take place all the time around the world. Well, if you look at Europe, at France, massive riots occur every now and then on the streets of Paris. And so I ask you, has the American president or the American House of Representatives ever supported those rioters? Have they ever issued a statement saying that we stand with you, rioters? Is there any record of the mass media which is affiliated with American capitalism and the American government and their mercenaries, like some of the governments in the region, unfortunately, such as the Saudi government? Is there any record of them supporting those rioters? Is there any such record? Is there any record of them announcing that they will provide such and such internet hardware and software to the rioters so that they can easily communicate with each other and carry out their plans for rioting? Is there a history of such a thing happening anywhere in the world, in any country? But it has happened here, and not just once or twice, it has happened many times over and over again. Well, how can you not see foreign hands at play? How can an intelligent person not sense that there are other hands behind the scenes of these events? There are other politics at play. Of course, the enemies show fake sorrow for someone that has passed away in the world. They are lying, and they are not affected by this at all. Rather, they are happy. They are happy because they found a pretext for creating unrest. They lie. Here in the nation, the heads of the three powers of the state expressed their sorrow and they sympathized with the grieving family. And then certain elements, who I will mention later, murder other people who are innocent and have not committed any crime. The judiciary promised to follow up on this to the end. Very well, this is exactly what an investigation means. It means following up, seeing the results, and seeing if anyone was guilty or not, and who is it that is guilty. How can you make false accusations and insult such a great organization, such as the judiciary, that serves the people over the possibility that one or two people may have made a mistake, and that too without any proof or any investigation? There is no logic behind this. This is clearly the work of none other than the spy agencies and malicious foreign politicians. Now, what is the motive of these foreign governments? What I sense is that their motivation is that they feel that the country is progressing towards achieving a comprehensive power, and they cannot tolerate this. They can feel this, and they can see it. They feel this, and they see this. They can see that many old problems are, by the praise of Allah, being solved. And although the country has many problems, many years have passed over some of these problems, but serious work is being done to solve these problems and untie these knots. They can see the movement towards progress, which is accelerating in the country. This is a fact. In all areas, an accelerating movement can be seen and can be felt. They can feel this as well. They do not want this to happen. They can see that factories that had been almost shut down have started operating once again. They can see knowledge-based companies are working. They can see advancements in production can be seen day by day in some sectors. They can see things being done that can neutralize the effects of the sanctions, which is currently the enemy's only weapon. They can see these things. And in order to stop this progress, they have sat down and they have made plans. They have made plans for universities. They have made plans for the streets. The enemy has made plans. The enemy has made plans to close down the universities, for the young generation to become preoccupied and busy, for the officials of the country to become faced with new issues and to create issues in the northwest and the southeast of the countries. These are all done in order to preoccupy and keep the people and the government busy. These are the things that are being created and provoked to stop the progressive movement of the country. But they are mistaken about both the northwest and the southeast. I have lived with the Baloch people. They are some of the most loyal ethnicities to the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic. The Kurds are one of the most advanced Iranian ethnicities. They care about their homeland, they care about their Islam, and they care about their Islamic system. The schemes and plans of the enemy will not work, but they spread their poison and they do their work anyways. Now these things show our enemy's intentions. The enemy that claims in its diplomatic statements that they do not intend to attack Iran, that they do not intend to change the system of the Islamic Republic, they are not our enemies, and that they agree with the nation of Iran. The inner reality of these enemies is what you are seeing on the ground. The inner reality of this enemy is conspiracy, creating riots, destroying the safety of the country, and instigating those who can be easily instigated and excited to go onto the streets. This is their inner reality. And they aren't just against the Islamic Republic. Rather, they are against Iran. America is against a powerful Iran. It is against an independent Iran. All of their arguments and all of their quarrels aren't just over the Islamic Republic. Now, of course, they have a deep animosity towards the Islamic Republic. There is no doubt about that. But even without the Islamic Republic, they are against an Iran that is strong. for they like the Iran of the Pahlavi era, one that was submissive to their orders. It was a milking cow. An Iran where for a simple decision, the king of the country was forced to ask the English ambassador or the American ambassador what to do. How can the Iranian nation tolerate such disgrace and humiliation? This is what the enemies want. They are against Iran. So as I mentioned, these are the aggressors. The control is in the hands of those behind the scenes. Therefore, the fight isn't over the issue of wearing or not wearing hijab. It isn't about the death of a young girl. This is not what it is all about. Many women who do not observe the hijab perfectly are among the steadfast supporters of the Islamic Republic, and you can see them attend religious ceremonies and events supporting the Islamic Revolution. So the hijab is not the issue. The issue is about the original independence and resistance and strengthening and authority of Islamic Iran. This is what it is all about. I will say one or two more things and then end this talk. One point is that the people who are creating corruption and damaging the streets and have done these things are not all the same. Some of them are youth and teenagers who take to the streets due to the excitement of a program on the internet. They're energetic and emotional. Their emotions cause them to come out. Although all of them together are a very small fraction compared to the Iranian nation and compared to the overwhelming masses of the faithful and devoted youth of Islamic Iran. But among these people, there are some who take to the streets because of emotions and excitement. That is an issue that can be fixed with a small punishment. That is, they can be guided and made to understand that they're making a mistake. However, some of them are not like this. Some of them are the remainders of the elements who were struck down in the past 40 years, such as the MKO, the separatists, the remnants of the evil Pahlavi regime, and the families of the despicable and loathsome members of the Savak. The Ministry of Intelligence's recent statement clarified some of these matters to a large extent. Although there is much more than this, the judiciary must determine their punishment and try them in proportion to how much these people have participated in the destruction of and the damaging of the security on the streets. Another point is that from the beginning, some elites said things or made announcements, statements, or had conversations out of sympathy, but without doing any research. Some of them accused the country's law enforcement, and some accused the police, and some accused the system as a whole. Each person did something in their own way. Well, this is a separate issue. But when they saw what the issue was, when they realized the effect of their statements, along with the planning of the enemy on the streets and in the people's lives, they should have compensated for the things that they had done. They should take a stand and openly state that they are against what has happened. They should make it clear that they are against the foreign enemy's schemes. The truth of the issue has been made clear. When you see American political elements comparing these events to the fall of the Berlin Wall, you should understand what their motives are. You should realize that this isn't about feeling sorry for the death of a young girl. You should have realized this, and if you did not realize it, you need to realize it now. If you have realized this, then take a stand. This was yet another point. Now, some famous athletes and actors have also taken their own stands. In my opinion, this has no value or importance. You should not focus on these issues. Our sports community is a good community, and so is our creative community. There are countless believing, loving, honorable people, both in the sports and creative communities. So when a few people say some things, their words are of no value. It is up to the judiciary to determine whether or not their statements are considered crimes. But generally speaking, their words have no significance nor any value. These behaviors that make our enemies happy do not have the ability to contaminate our community of actors and athletes. And the last thing I would like to say is to send countless greetings upon the police who have been martyred, and the martyred of the armed forces, and the martyred who defended the security, and the recent martyrs, and all the martyrs who were on the path of righteousness. May Allah's greetings, mercy, and blessings be upon you.
والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.